Welcome to The Debate. You know, when we visualize the artificial intelligence revolution, the images that immediately come to mind are almost entirely digital. We picture rows of sleek server racks, advanced silicon wafers, algorithmic code. We rarely picture massive fleets of heavy yellow iron moving millions of cubic yards of dirt.
Right. The physical layer is just completely abstracted away from our minds. We like to treat the cloud like it actually just, you know, floats up there. But the reality of physical infrastructure is far grittier.
Exactly. Before a single GPU can be installed, before a megawatt of power can even be drawn from the grid, the Earth has to literally be moved. And that central tension between the digital cloud and physical dirt brings us to Sterling Infrastructure, trading under the ticker STRL.
A fascinating case study right now.
It really is. So the core question we are unpacking today is this. Has Sterling permanently transcended its legacy as a heavy civil contractor to become a mission-critical, premium-valued AI infrastructure platform? Or, you know, is the market dangerously over-extrapolating peak cycle conditions for an inherently cyclical construction business?
And to ground our analysis today, we're synthesizing a really comprehensive suite of institutional equity research. We're pulling from William Blair, D.A. Davidson, Stifel, and Sidoti, all updated through March 2026.
Right.
Plus, we are layering in recent AlphaSense expert network transcripts and, of course, their latest corporate earnings data. To state my position briefly up front, I contend that while the operational turnaround here is commendable, a massive re-rating to 18 to 20 times forward EBITDA just completely ignores reality. It ignores steep customer concentration, the cyclical drag of legacy segments, and the severe duration risk if hyperscaler CapEx ever decelerates.
Well, and to state my position, I argue that Sterling's completely transformed business model, which is driven by capacity-constrained secular data center demand through 2030, fundamentally justifies its premium valuation. They're printing structural 20-plus percent EBITDA margins and executing a highly accretive capital allocation strategy.
Let's dig into that transformation first, because it is significant.
It is. You have to look at the sheer scale of the pivot spearheaded by CEO Joe Cutillo. To understand Sterling today, you really have to understand what it used to be. A decade ago, roughly 95% of this company's revenue was generated from low-bid, heavy highway construction.
Which is historically one of the toughest, lowest margin businesses you can possibly be in.
Oh, it's a brutal business. You are locked into these fixed price contracts with state and municipal governments. If it rains for a month or, you know, if the price of asphalt spikes, you just eat the loss. It was commoditized. It was high risk. Fast forward to today and the entire narrative has flipped.
Yeah, the e-infrastructure segment is running the show now.
Exactly. It's the primary growth engine. And within that vertical, mission-critical projects, specifically site preparation for data centers and advanced manufacturing facilities, that represents over 80% of the mix.
Look, I come at it from a slightly different angle. I will gladly acknowledge the masterful operational pivot. Joe Cutillo and his executive team have executed flawlessly to get out of that heavy highway bloodbath. But as sophisticated investors, we must strictly separate a great company from a great stock at current prices.
Okay, fair.
We have to talk about the staggering multiple expansion. If you look back to 2022, Sterling was trading at roughly 6 times earnings. Today, the stock is trading around 24 times forward EBITDA, having blown past $420 a share.
Well, they've earned it.
But that is a massive tech-like premium for what is ultimately, at its core, a civil construction firm.
I see why you think that. But let me give you a different perspective. They aren't just a civil construction peer anymore. And the financial realities absolutely prove it. We're looking at 4 consecutive years of beat and raise execution.
True.
Adjusted EBITDA margins have comfortably crossed the 20% threshold. And if you isolate just the e-infrastructure segment, operating margins hit an astonishing 28.4% in late 2025. You don't get 28% margins by just pouring concrete.
But
you get them because hyperscaler demand, the Googles, the Metas, the Amazons, is fundamentally capacity constrained, not price constrained.
But let's pause on that exact margin for a second. 28.4% operating margins in physical dirt moving is an anomaly. I mean, capitalism abhors a vacuum, right? In the engineering and construction space, margins like that are a dinner bell for competition.
Not if the barriers to entry are high enough.
But the specialty ENC market remains highly fragmented. There are over 10,000 national competitors in the United States alone.
Yeah, but those 10,000 competitors do not have the scale to handle a multi-billion dollar hyperscale campus. They just don't.
They might not have it individually, sure, but private equity is aggressively rolling up regional players right now. AlphaSense Expert Network commentary specifically highlights that new entrants, companies that previously focused on, say, industrial warehouses or civil water projects, they're actively trying to grab a chunk of this data center boom.
They can try.
But you cannot sustain software-like margins in a physical world with relatively low barriers to entry. Eventually, some massive regional excavator with idle equipment is going to bid 20% lower just to keep his crews working.
That's an interesting point, though I would frame it differently. You're looking at this through a traditional procurement lens, but that isn't how hyperscalers operate. Think of Sterling not as a construction vendor, but as a cheap insurance policy for hyperscalers. The core of Sterling's moat is what industry experts call schedule assurance.
Meaning they guarantee the delivery date.
Exactly. And let's explain why that is so incredibly valuable. For Google or Meta, speed to market is paramount. The cost of capital on a delayed $3 billion data center is staggering. Now, site development is historically the absolute most uncertain phase of any construction project.
Oh, without a doubt. It's unpredictable by nature.
Highly unpredictable. When you start digging millions of cubic yards of earth, you don't know exactly what you'll hit. You might hit unforeseen bedrock, massive underground water tables, or unstable soil that requires complex compaction. Small contractors get bogged down when they hit bedrock. They have to wait weeks to lease specialized equipment.
Right, their schedules slip.
Sterling, on the other hand, has massive fleets of owned yellow iron. If they hit a problem, they can brute force the project back on schedule by dropping 50 extra machines on the site overnight. That is schedule assurance.
Sure, the scale is an advantage.
It's the deciding factor. Site development typically accounts for less than 10% of total data center project costs. If you are Meta and you are building an AI training cluster that will generate billions in high-margin software revenue, are you really going to risk the entire facility's timeline to save 20 basis points by hiring an unproven local excavator?
I see the logic, but that assumes a hyperscaler's urgency never wanes.
Well, look at how Sterling is deep in that moat. Look at the brilliant $505 million acquisition of CEC Facilities Group in the third quarter of 2025.
That was their push into electrical contracting.
Right, and let's break down the mechanics of why that matters. Historically, the dirt contractor levels the pad, packs up their equipment, and leaves. Then the electrical contractor mobilizes, comes in, digs new trenches for massive power conduits, and starts coordinating with utilities.
And the handoff between those two contractors is where schedules slip.
Precisely. By buying CEC Sterling Integrated Site Prep with Underground Electrical, now while they are finalizing the dirt work, their own internal electrical teams are already trenching and laying conduit. They overlap the critical path. They are compressing overall project schedules by 1 to 2 months. That schedule compression is a massive, highly defensible moat that a local competitor simply cannot replicate.
That is a compelling argument. But have you considered that scale alone doesn't eliminate cycle risk? Even if we assume the schedule assurance moat holds up against competitors, it does absolutely nothing to protect Sterling if the end market demand itself dries up.
But it isn't drying up.
If the urgency from the hyperscalers falters even a little bit, that premium pricing vanishes overnight.
But the urgency isn't faltering, it's accelerating. Look at the recent capital expenditure guidance raises we saw in early 2026. Google's guidance was 97% higher than consensus expectations from just a few months prior. Meta's forecast was 25% higher.
Yes, for now.
The customers are actively trying to reserve Sterling's capacity for 2027 through 2030. In one recent instance, a single hyperscaler is discussing up to 8 campuses in a single state. The duration of the cycle is firmly intact.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that the duration is a guarantee. We do not have to guess about market sensitivity to this exact risk. We just have to look back at the early 2025 DeepSeek scare.
Oh, come on, which was largely a sentiment overreaction.
It was a very telling overreaction. For our listeners, DeepSeek was a moment where an AI model demonstrated it could achieve state-of-the-art reasoning performance using a fraction of the compute power and training parameters previously thought necessary.
Right, the efficiency narrative.
Exactly. It suddenly introduced the idea of AI inference efficiency. The market panicked, realizing that if software becomes exponentially more efficient, hyperscalers might not need to build nearly as many massive gigawatt data centers. What happened to Sterling's stock? It briefly fell 50% from its peak. 50%!
But the underlying physical build-out didn't slow down for a single day. The concrete kept pouring.
That's true, but the stock's reaction tells you exactly how much of this 24 times multiple is predicated exclusively on indefinite exponential AI capex. When you see a stock priced for absolute perfection, and then you notice some very timely insider selling from the CEO, which we saw in recent quarters, you have to ask if management itself recognizes that we are capitalizing peak cycle margins.
I think you're reading too much into standard insider diversification.
Furthermore, we need to address the customer concentration. Approximately 33% of Sterling's e-infrastructure revenue comes from just four major clients. That is severe concentration. If just one of those clients decides to optimize their server architecture and delays a single campus build by 12 months...
Sterling just pivots. I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning because it ignores the end market fungibility of Sterling's assets.
Fungibility?
Yes, fungibility. Let's assume your worst case scenario happens and data center construction slows. Sterling's heavy equipment and specialized labor aren't useless. They simply pivot to other massive secular growth areas, like semiconductor fabrication plants, electric vehicle facilities, or heavy e-commerce warehouses where demand is also accelerating due to nearshoring.
Right.
A bulldozer doesn't care if it's leveling dirt for an AI cluster or an Amazon fulfillment center. The assets are perfectly fungible.
I'm sorry, but fungibility is a comforting buzzword. It's like saying a luxury cruise ship can be repurposed as a cargo freighter if tourism drops. Yes, technically the boat still floats, but the margin profile completely sinks.
I don't think that analogy holds up at all.
Let me explain why it does. You just spent 10 minutes outlining how Sterling commands a 28% margin because hyperscalers are desperate for schedule assurance. They pay a premium for speed. A standard e-commerce warehouse developer does not have that same infinite cost of capital. They are highly price sensitive. If Sterling pivots their yellow iron to digging dirt for a standard logistics box, they are right back to competing on price with those 10,000 local competitors. You cannot command a 20 times EBITDA multiple digging dirt for a warehouse.
Okay, I see your point on warehouses, but building a semiconductor fab is not a cargo freighter. It's just a different type of luxury cruise ship. The complexity of site prep for a multi-billion dollar chip fab is practically identical to a data center. The vibration tolerances for the concrete pads, the massive underground water and power conduits it requires, the exact same specialized skill set, and commands the exact same premium.
But the volume of fab construction isn't enough to replace data centers if there's a pullback.
And frankly, the market isn't just pricing in the existing cash flows. It's pricing in what Sterling is doing with that cash.
You're talking about their M&A strategy.
I'm talking about textbook multiple arbitrage, and it is the mechanism actually justifying the premium valuation. Let's break down the math here. Sterling is generating cash at a return on equity exceeding 36%. They have an incredible free cash flow conversion rate that frequently exceeds 170% of net income.
Well, yeah, because they collect cash up front on these massive projects.
Exactly. They are operating with negative working capital, which is a beautiful thing. They are taking that mountain of cash and deploying it into highly accretive acquisitions. For example, they bought Drake Concrete for 3.8 times EBITDA. They bought CEC Facilities Group, which we discussed earlier, for 9.6 times EBITDA.
And Wall Street loves that math.
Wall Street loves it because it's mechanically flawless. When your own stock trades at a 20 times multiple and you use cash to buy a fundamentally strong asset at a 4 times multiple, the moment those new earnings hit your consolidated income statement, the market instantly values them at your higher multiple. It's like buying a dollar for 20 cents.
True. The accretion is immediate.
This is precisely why their 2026 guidance came in 10% ahead of street consensus. Every time bears argue the multiple has expanded too far, management executes an acquisition that structurally upgrades their earnings power, effectively growing into the valuation. The fundamental execution keeps outrunning the multiple.
They have executed the M&A playbook incredibly well. There is absolutely no denying that. But the valuation gap with best-in-class specialty E&C peers, companies like Quanta Services or EMCOR, has rapidly closed. You are no longer buying a hidden gem transitioning away from heavy civil work. You are paying peak multiples for a recognized asset.
A premium asset deserves a premium multiple.
And in paying that peak multiple, investors are entirely ignoring the cyclical baggage that Sterling still carries.
You're referring to the building solutions segment.
I am. Everyone wants to talk about e-infrastructure and AI, but we cannot forget that a significant portion of this business is still tied to pouring residential concrete slabs. Building solutions is heavily exposed to single-family residential trends. We saw double-digit revenue declines in that segment recently due to macroeconomic weakness in the Dallas housing market.
It's a small piece of the pie now.
When a stock is priced for perfection at over $420 a share, you do not have room for a segment decline. Any execution hiccup, an extended period of adverse weather in Texas, or a continued macro slowdown in housing creates a massive valuation air pocket. You are essentially paying an enterprise software multiple for a company that still pours driveways in Dallas.
That's an interesting point, though. I would frame it differently. You're penalizing them for building solutions, but I think you are misunderstanding the underlying cost structure of that specific segment.
How so?
Building solutions is highly variable. Unlike the heavy equipment required for e-infrastructure, roughly 80% of the labor in building solutions is subcontracted. It is essentially a capital-light business model. When demand in the Dallas residential market softens, Sterling doesn't have a massive fixed-cost payroll bleeding cash.
They just scale back the contractors.
They simply flex the subcontractors down, their fixed-cost absorption doesn't crater. Yes, the top-line revenue shrinks, which obviously drags on consolidated growth rates, but the actual cash flow doesn't bleed.
But in a market that trades purely on growth momentum, top-line deceleration matters.
It matters to day traders, perhaps, but look at the balance sheet. Sterling ended 2025 generating roughly $12 a share in net cash while growing their e-infrastructure backlog by 79% year over year. They have virtually zero net debt. Why shouldn't a company with a pristine balance sheet, a 36% return on equity, and tech-like secular tailwinds trade at a tech-like multiple? They aren't a traditional construction company anymore. They are the physical foundation of the cloud.
They trade at a tech-like multiple today, but tech multiples inherently rely on software-like recurring revenue. Sterling's revenue, while possessing high visibility right now due to the multi-year data center backlog, is inherently project-based. Once a data center pad is poured, once the underground electrical is installed, Sterling has to go out and win another project.
Right, but the backlog gives them years of runway.
Runway is not permanent. It is not an annual recurring subscription that renews with zero customer acquisition cost. And while the M&A strategy is highly accretive today, integrating a complex electrical and mechanical contractor like CEC carries immense operational execution risk. If they misprice a fixed price contract on a mega project because they are stepping outside their core site prep competency into complex electrical engineering, that pristine balance sheet can deteriorate quickly.
They've proven they can integrate effectively, though.
My ultimate concern is that investors are capitalizing peak margins at peak multiples. If that e-infrastructure margin normalizes from 28% back down to a still respectable historical average of 18%, the earnings power drops, the multiple compresses, and you get a severe mechanical contraction in the stock price.
Let's summarize our positions as we look at the totality of the Sterling narrative. My perspective remains that Sterling is a fundamentally transformed entity. Management has brilliantly leveraged scale, vertical integration through the CEC acquisition, and the immense value of schedule assurance to dominate a generational AI infrastructure build-out. I believe the premium multiple is simply the market correctly pricing in structurally higher margins, a flawless balance sheet, and a highly accretive capital allocation cycle.
And I maintain that while the company is executing flawlessly on the ground today, the market has become euphoric. By pricing the stock at 18 to 20 times out-year EBITDA, investors have modeled in permanent peak cycle margins. In doing so, they are entirely ignoring the existential risks of severe customer concentration, the lingering drag of the residential construction segments, and the devastating downside risk if hyperscaler CapEx growth decelerates even slightly.
I think where we do find absolute convergence today is on the objective quality of management's execution. Joe Cutillo and his team have pulled off one of the most impressive strategic pivots in the industrial sector over the last decade.
Agreed. They took a low-margin, high-risk, heavy highway builder and turned it into an infrastructure powerhouse. Their balance sheet is undeniably pristine, and their M&A playbook, finding single-digit EBITDA multiples to bolt onto their platform, has created tremendous shareholder value to date. No one can argue with the historical execution.
Value in the physical layer of the AI revolution is deeply complex. The digital cloud requires a massive, resource-intensive terrestrial footprint, and figuring out how much of a premium that physical work commands is the ultimate puzzle here.
It's the paradox of the modern economy, really. The most advanced abstract software technologies rely entirely on fleets of diesel engines moving millions of tons of dirt.
We leave it to you to decide whether Sterling's premium valuation is the new structural reality of capacity-constrained megaprojects or the hallmark of a late-cycle construction boom. Keep a close eye on the upcoming hyperscaler CapEx reports. They will be the ultimate leading indicator for the duration of this cycle. When you think of the cloud going forward, ask yourself if you're picturing the data or the heavy yellow iron making it all possible.